star UEN, the Precision Watch, dedicates to the radio audience of America, Warner Brothers Academy Theater. Transcribed from Hollywood. Warner Brothers Academy of Acting presents Special Agent, a dramatic story which encores a thrilling picture which starred Betty Davis and George Brent. Once again, you are invited to join the exclusive audience in the Academy Theater. And your host for the evening is Gruen. There are a good many reasons for all manufacturers to work endlessly at improving their products. The best of these reasons is the response which you, the American public, always give to progressive new developments and your appreciation of the companies responsible for them. America's response to the latest outstanding achievement of the Gruen Watch Company has exceeded all our hopes. Of course, we refer to the public interest in and the public approval of the new Gruen wrist-side Curvex for men. Throughout the nation, in a few brief weeks, men have acclaimed this smart new watch to be worn on the side of the wrist. As soon as they strap it on, every man says it's the natural place to wear a wristwatch. Safer, more comfortable, more convenient. And they know that this Gruen wristwatch is made possible and practical only by the revolutionary Curvex movement exclusive with Gruen. Only this patented innovation permits a sturdy, full-sized movement in the sharply curved case. If you have not yet seen this newest of all watches, your Gruen jeweler cordially invites you to try one on in his store tomorrow. See it by all means. It's exclusively Gruen. The curtain rises on the Warner Academy of Acting presentation, Special Agent, starring Carol Landis and John Ridgely, two of the most promising youngsters from the talented ranks of the Academy. The story of Special Agent has its beginning in the Federal Bureau of Investigation headquarters in Washington, where various agents, or G-men as they are commonly called, have assembled before the department head on a serious occasion.
I called you men together to tell you that Uncle Sam is launching on a new campaign in the hope of defeating the racketeer. We all know that these racketeers make money. Some of them are wealthy, millionaires, and yet we realize that they have been paying little or no income tax. Therein lies the weapon we are now going to utilize that will ultimately deal a death blow to the racket barons. We must locate their books, find out as nearly as possible the amount of income they've received. Then, when we do that, we will indict them for income tax evasion. And I don't have to tell you, men of this department, that there's only one place to begin our attack, and that's at the very top. You all know, gentlemen, that I speak of Alex Carson.
Hello, Mr. Carson.
Good evening, Julie.
Hello, Alex. I'm just showing Julie the books. Well, business was fine this month.
That's what you say.
Well, you can see for yourself. It's right there in black and white. Isn't it, Julie?
Yes. Well, I'm not through yet.
A gambling joint like this is just like owning a gold mine, huh, Alex?
This is Plaker stuff. We make more out of the school kids.
You're kidding, aren't you?
Listen, Armitage. There's 500,000 school kids in this town paying 15 cents a day for a box lunch. We got the concession tied up. 4 cents apiece just to use our boxes adds up. Figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it does. You don't do so bad with them laundries, do you, boss? 2 cents a pound on all the wash in this town and...
Mr. Carson.
Yes, Juliet?
There's something wrong here.
Yes, I sort of figured there would be a little something wrong.
Now, wait a minute. Can't be anything wrong, Alex. I balance those books myself.
Go ahead, Julie. Let's have it.
But they don't balance. These books are $16,000 short.
Oh, that's a mistake, Miss Garner. You must have made a mistake.
You made the mistake, Armitage. I had an idea this was coming. Julie, are you sure your dope is right?
Oh, yes.
Then leave us alone. Go on outside.
Do you want me to wait for you, Mr. Carson, or shall I go on home?
Go on home, Julie. I'll see you tomorrow.
Now, look, Alex, I can explain. You see, I made a little mistake. You see, I put down the wrong figure and I rubbed it out.
And I made a mistake that I'm going to rub out. Armitage.
Have some dessert, Julie?
No, thanks, Bill.
What's the matter, on a diet?
No, Bill, I just wasn't as hungry as usual.
You were so late in getting here, I thought I had a starving bookkeeper on my hands.
Oh, I told you, I went over to the club and looked over the book for Mr. Carson.
Since you've mentioned it, I wish you'd keep out of those joints, Julie. There's going to be a blow-up sometime.
Oh, let's not go into that again.
Why don't you quit, Carson, Julie?
You have no right to ask me that. What would you say if I told you to quit being a newspaper reporter? You wouldn't do it, would you?
Well, you must admit there's quite a difference between being a newspaper reporter and keeping books for a murdering snake like Carson.
You have no proof that he is a murderer.
I don't need proof other than that too many guys are find themselves suddenly in the East River full of holes. Oh, Julie, it's just that I worry about you so much, and I love you so much.
Going romantic on me, Bill?
I'm serious, Julie. Give Carson the air, and let's go down and look silly in front of the Justice of the Peace. What do you say?
Bill, I'd rather wait a while.
Oh, I see.
Honest, Bill, I want to. I've wanted to for a long time, but I'm afraid to take the chance. I didn't know what I was getting into at first, and then it commenced giving me more and more to do, until now I'm his personal bookkeeper, and I'm the only one who knows the code the books are kept in.
You're the only one?
I don't think even Carson could decipher them without me. If I married you, he'd think there'd be a chance of my talking. He might take it out on you, Bill.
Yeah, in the river.
Oh, I don't think he'd do that. I know he's a racketeer and a gambler, but not that, Bill.
Well, let's get out of here. I've got to drop by the paper for a few minutes. Want to go with me?
I'm a little tired. Maybe I'll just go on.
Tony, give me the check, will you?
It's right in front of you, Mr. Bradford.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Come on, honey. I'll put you in the taxi.
Subway's good enough. Better save your money, Bill.
What for?
Come on. Walk with me to the subway.
We all about it. Paper, extra paper. All about the gangland murder. Extra, extra. Paper, mister?
Yeah, give me a paper.
Sure.
Julie, look at this.
Yes?
Underworld bullets riddle Dave Armitage, manager of the 122 Club.
Body of Armitage found floating in the East River. Why, Bill, just tonight I was...
Yes?
The books. I told Carson the books were...
Go on, Julie. What happened?
Nothing.
Julie, you've got to open up. What do you know about this? Did Carson have any differences with Armitage?
Yes, he was. I don't know.
You mean you won't tell?
I'm afraid to, Bill. Even you. But I suddenly feel a little weak, Bill. Maybe we'd better take that taxi. After all...
Look at those headlines. Armitage murder Kent in series of unsolved underworld killings. We know who's responsible, but what can we do about it?
Well, Armitage worked for Alex Carson. I think we have a chance of pinning it on him this time, Walter, if we can just prove that he...
Yes, if we can just prove. So help me, I'd give 10 years of my life to send Carson to the chair. Yes?
Bill Bradford of the press is here to see you.
Send him in. Bradford's on his way in here.
I wonder what he wants.
Probably wants a statement as to why we don't catch the killer this time. Come in. Come in, Bill. You know the chief of police, don't you?
Sure. Hello, Chief. How are you, Mr. District Attorney?
Fine, thanks. What's on your mind, Bill?
Well, I'm not here for a story, but I've got a hunch you might be able to use.
Yeah?
You figure Carson, don't you?
Naturally.
Armitage was Alex Carson's manager of the 122 Club. Now, don't ask me how, but I happen to know that his books were short last night. Carson discovered it, and, well, Armitage went for a swim.
This killing of Armitage is just another of the crimes Carson's been responsible for. And aside from these continued murders, we know Carson's controlling practically every racket. But what can we do?
If you can hang this on him, you might get to the bottom of the whole mess. You're going to pick up Carson, aren't you?
Yes, on suspicion. But we won't be able to hold him.
Yeah, well, when you go to Carson's office, have a court order with you to confiscate Carson's private books.
Yeah, but can we find them?
Yeah, you could try. And if you find those books, you'll have enough evidence to convict Alex Carson for half the jobs pulled in this city.
Here, Jonesy, I don't get this. What's the matter with that judge? Why doesn't he get it over with?
Now, Alex, the judge will take the stand any minute. It'll be the same thing over again. Dismissal for lack of evidence.
About Armitage, yes. But there's something else. How did those flat feet from the DA's office get an idea about my private books?
You've got nothing to worry about. They didn't find them.
No, but they might. Somebody tipped an idea to those flat feet. They couldn't have had one all for themselves.
Where do you keep those books, Alex? In a safe place?
So safe that I'm not even going to tell my lawyer about it.
Order, please. Gentlemen, the case of the people of the state versus Alexander Carson has been carefully considered. And because of lack of evidence, the case is hereby dismissed.
There you are, Alex. I told you.
Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Hello, Carson. I suppose congratulations are in order.
Hello, Bill. It was a cinch.
Yeah, you can phone your paper, Bradford. Tell them that Alexander Carson left the courtroom a free man, as usual.
I seem to detect a note of sarcasm.
That's what makes Jonesy a good lawyer. Come on, I'll give you a lift.
No, I'm not going your way. It might interest you to know that I've got a date with your blonde bookkeeper.
Oh. I didn't know you and Julie were friends.
Well, it just proves, Carson, that even you don't know everything. Well, see you later. The next time you have a swimming party, let me know.
You know, Jonesy, I always liked that guy. Too bad if they had a story in the paper about him.
Oh, Bill, I thought you'd never come. What happened? The same old story, I suppose.
Yeah, case dismissed. Lack of evidence.
Oh, I'm worried sick. I don't know what to do, Bill. Do you know what happened? That day, when the district attorney's men came, they had a court order. A writ of seizure for Carlton's private books.
Yeah, I heard about that. They didn't find them.
No. He has a special wall safe. Nobody knows the combination but Carlton. He locks them up himself.
Julie, we've talked about this before, and I've tried to tell you what a jam you're getting yourself into. They're gunning for Carlton, and they're going to get him. You've got to get out while the getting is good.
Oh, I can't, Bill. I'm scared. You know, Carlton, you saw what happened to Armitage. I can't quit because I'm the only one who knows the code to the entries in the book.
Julie, listen to me. I don't want to call my paper someday and tell them the girl by the name of Julie Gardner, who used to keep books for Carson, went swimming in the East River. You know how I feel about you. And, well, one day I want you to be Mrs. Bill Bradford. So there's only one thing left to do. Fix your boss. Put him away where he's harmless. We'll not only be doing ourselves a good turn, Julie, but a whole lot of other people, too. What do you say? Will you do it?
No, Bill. I'm afraid.
It's our only chance ever to have each other. Julie, all you got to do is tuck Mr. Carson's personal account books under your arm some evening and bring them to Mr. Bill Bradford.
Then we'll both go for a swim.
Julie, I didn't tell you, but, well, I've got another little job on the side.
What do you mean?
Look at this.
Why, Bill.
And I know the way to stop Alex Carson if you'll deliver these books to me.
Oh, how can I do that? I have to turn them over to him at the end of the day's work and he puts them away.
But I have a plan. Suppose we persuade Mr. Carson that his present hiding place wasn't any good. Listen, Julie.
Hello, Bradford. Nice of you to drop in. Got another hunch? Your last one about Carson's private books was wrong. He hasn't got any.
That's where you're wrong. Somebody's got to keep track of all the dough he takes in on paper, and I know who does. I've got a pretty good idea where he keeps the papers.
Now, look, Bradford, you're a good newspaper
man.
Yeah,
I know what you're going to say. Your department resents a reporter sticking his nose in where he's not wanted.
Well, you asked for it.
It's time you should know something. 5 years ago, I got tired of writing about crooks like Carson and decided to do something about it. Reporting's not my real job now.
Then what is?
Here are my credentials.
William Bradford, United States Treasury Department, special agent. Well, this stops me.
Yeah, maybe it's going to stop a few other guys. Up till now, Carson has been bigger than the law. That is, the law at your command, but he isn't bigger than the federal law. And we're going to use it to put him in the federal prison.
That sounds fine, Bill, but how are you going to do it?
Income tax violation. It's a 30-year rap if we can make it stick.
When do we start?
Now. Can I use your phone?
Help yourself.
Oh. Hello, Julie, this is Bill. Hello, Julie. You know what we decided. Well, I want you to speak to your boss. Don't tell him who's calling. Just say it sounds important. Yeah, thanks. Oh, hello, Carson. You don't know me, but I just got wind of a story. You're going to have company. It seems you didn't pay any income tax, and there's some law about it. They're coming down this afternoon to look for your books. Yeah, again. Well, sure I'm on the level. Don't imagine. So long.
I don't get the idea. Why warn Carson?
When a fox is in a hole, you've got to smoke him out. Now, here's what you do. Send your men to Carson's office in about an hour. Tear the joint up. Pretend you're looking for the books, but you won't find them.
Well, where'll you be so I can keep in touch with you?
I'll be looking for the books, too.
And the curtain falls on Act One of Special Agent. And the curtain rises on the second act of Special Agent.
Did you ring for me, Mr. Carson?
Yes. That call a moment ago, it was a tip-off. Julie, as you know, there's been a lot of interest in my private books lately. Maybe it would be better if we hid them someplace away from the office.
Well, if you're worried, Mr. Carson, maybe I could...
Could what?
Well, maybe I could take them away and hide them in my room. Didn't ever think to look there.
Yes. Yes, you could do that. You're a smart little girl, Julie.
Oh, but I'd rather not, Mr. Carson. I don't want to get mixed up in this.
It was your idea, and I guess you stuck with it. I'll get out the books, and you can take them to your room.
Well, all right, if it will help you.
But there'd better not be any slip, if you know what I mean. And, Julie, you've been with me quite a while, and I need you in my business. I wouldn't want to lose you. So, while I think about it, even the smartest bookkeeper is liable to make a slip in conversation when she's around a guy like Bill Bradford. Oh, I know your friends. But don't see too much of him, if you don't mind. I don't like him.
Your Honor, I demand this case be dismissed for lack of evidence.
Your client, Mr. Carson, has been indicted by a federal grand jury for income tax evasion.
Without record? What are they using as evidence?
We're coming to that. We are going to show by actual figures that the defendant has made and has extorted millions from a tax-paying public and never paid a cent of taxes himself.
I object, Your Honor, to the prosecution making extravagant charges against my client without substantiation.
If the prosecution cannot sustain his charges, I admonish him to cease declaring them.
Very well, Your Honor. Then I shall ask for a recess until 2 o'clock this afternoon, at which time we shall submit in evidence Alexander Carson's personal books containing his earnings and assets.
That's a lie. You can't do it.
At 2 o'clock, Your Honor, the books shall be entered as evidence in this courtroom, much to the surprise of the defendant.
The court is in recess until 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Hey, Alex, what is this? What's he talking about? I thought you told me those books were safe.
I thought they were.
Maybe he's bluffing.
I don't know. But we've got to find out before 2 o'clock. If they've got the books, they'll have to have Julie, too. She knows the code. She's the only one.
Do you think she'll be here?
I think she won't. You see to that, Jones. Call up the boys. Tell them to snatch that blonde dame, even if they have to take her right out of the DA's office. I'm beginning to put two and two together, Jonesy. That dame's got to be put away.
Come on, Carson, let's go.
Okay, copper. Don't forget, Jonesy, tell the boys. Before 2 o'clock.
Court is now in session.
Your Honor, without further delay, we submit in evidence the private records which, by showing the profits made by Alexander Carson, both legal and illicit, prove that Alexander Carson is guilty of intentionally defrauding the government. Here are the books, Your Honor. Would you please examine them?
That's not in accordance with court procedure, but I shall if it is requested. Hand me one of the ledgers, please.
Yes, Your Honor. This is the evidence, Your Honor. And though it may not be comprehensible in its present form, we will establish beyond proof that these are the private accounts of Alexander Carson. Of course, Your Honor, we realize that the entries are of a peculiar nature, but that's because the books are in code.
Can you prove that?
We can. We have a witness whom we wish to introduce at this time.
Your Honor, it's necessary that I interrupt this case.
Well,
what's happened, Bradford?
The witness, Julie Garden. She isn't here. She's not in the courtroom.
I object, Your Honor. If they have a witness, let them produce the witness in court.
Bradford, where is she?
She won't be here. We just had word that the witness, Julie Gardner, has been kidnapped.
Hello, Bill. I've been expecting you. A little late, too. I haven't seen you since my trial was postponed. Suddenly.
Don't rub it in, Carson. You know what's on my mind?
Yes. I believe you did tell me once that you had a date with my blonde bookkeeper. You'd like another date, isn't that the idea?
Where is she, Carson?
I'm afraid you've made a nuisance out of yourself, Mr. Reporter.
You can't get away with this.
You said that before. But you're the one that looks worried. You know, Bill, I've a hunch that you've been playing a game that's not too healthy for you.
And I've got a hunch, Carson, that you kicked John Law in the pants once too often. The public won't stand for it.
The public, Bill, is made up of men. And you can buy 90% of them at your own price. The other 10% have been given their choice of crawling on their bellies and being live cowards or taking it in the belly and being dead heroes. It's amazing when you have money and power what contempt you have for John Law and John Public.
There's only one hole in your argument, Carson. Dillinger didn't die of old age.
Oh, save those pretty speeches for your newspaper, Sonny.
Where is she, Carson?
Would you like to keep that date?
Yes.
All right, Boy Scout. If you want, you can have it.
Well, Lefty.
Yeah, boss.
Mr. Bradford wants to take a little trip. The one we were talking about. It seems Mr. Bradford has a date.
Oh, Bill, you shouldn't have done it.
Well, it's better to know where you are and be in a jam like this and to be back in town going crazy.
But you know what they're going to do to us, Bill.
Listen, Julie. Lean over here.
I can't any further. The ropes cut my arms.
Don't worry too much. We have a chance.
Oh, but I heard them talking. They knew Lefty was bringing you out here. Carson called up. They had it all planned. I worked for Carson long enough to know what he does to people who double-cross him. It isn't pleasant. They don't just shoot you. Oh, no. That's too easy. And you walked right into it, Bill.
I had to find you, Julie, because this was all my fault.
Oh, I love you, Bill. And if I'd have listened to you in the beginning, we wouldn't be tied up in this house, miles from anywhere. Just waiting.
But, Julie, there is a chance. When I came to see Carson, I had it all planned. And if the federal men follow my instructions...
Hello, sucker. Having a little girl pissed, huh? Well, you better talk a lot. Time's about up.
Funny how a gun makes a tough guy out of a rat.
Shut up!
Oh, stop!
All right, Julie. A guy like that will hit you when your arms are tied.
Come on, you two. We got a little surprise waiting for you in the other room. We'll take the dame first. But we want you to see it, Mr. Bradford, on account of you're such a boy scout.
What are you going to do to it?
Ain't you never seen nobody crawl on that belly begging for mercy? Begging for you to kill him?
No. No.
You remember, Julie. You remember what happened to Tony Santana?
No.
Stick it out, Julie. Something will happen.
Come on, Lefty. Bring him in. We're ready for him now.
Get going, suckers. What's that?
Sounds like somebody breaking the door down, sucker.
It's the cops. They followed me. Okay, Bradford. You get yours now.
No.
Stick up your hands, Lefty. Stick them up. We got you covered.
Yeah. Not till I get this boat. Oh!
Are you all right, Bradford?
Yeah, sure, but we broke through that door just in time.
And how are you, Miss Gardner?
Well, I'll feel better when you untie me, and I can put my arms around Bill.
Oh, I'll have you loosen a jiffy. And there's nothing to worry about the towel. They got the whole gang in the front room, all three of them.
What about Carson?
They picked him up right after you left. He's down in the courthouse now, and this time they got him dead to rights. The little matter like kidnapping, thrown in for good measure. There you are, Miss Gardner.
Oh, thanks.
Now I'll turn you loose, Mr. Bradford.
I'll turn Mr. Bradford loose.
Oh, sure. Well, we'll be waiting for you.
Hurry up, Julie. We've got to finish this job. We've got to meet Carston at the courthouse.
And after that, Mr. Special Agent, I'm going to tie you up for life.
And the curtain falls on the Warner Academy production of Special Agent. Congratulations are certainly due all around. But we'll save that for Wayne Morris to take care of. Yes, Wayne's here in the audience tonight, and he's coming up on the stage now. The Gruen Mutch Company joins in this applause for Wayne Morris. For as we told you last week, one of the smartest of all men's wristwatches, the new Gruen Victor, is dedicated to this popular young star. The Gruen Victor and its companion, the Gruen Victoria, inspired by charming Priscilla Lane, are outstanding examples of Gruen's leadership in style and beauty. Tomorrow, visit your Gruen jeweler and see for yourself these newest popular watches, both fashioned in the charm and color of natural gold. And you will be amazed that both the Gruen Victor and the Gruen Victoria are priced as low as $29.75. Be sure to also see the Gruen Curve X, the world's first true wristwatch. Exclusively in the Gruen Curve X, you will see the patented full-size curved movement, filling completely the graceful lines of the custom curved case and ensuring pocket watch accuracy in a wristwatch. If the beautiful Curve X case were removed, the Curve X movement would still conform to the curve of the wrist. Be sure of the name, Gruen, G-R-U-E-N, on the dial of your new watch. And now we introduce a Warner Academy alumnus who does credit to his alma mater. In less than 2 years, Wayne Morris has made picture after picture for Warner Brothers, which have boosted him along the road to popularity. If reports about his last picture are to be believed, and why shouldn't they be, Wayne is well on his way right now toward becoming one of the screen's outstanding male screen stars. Audience, meet Wayne Morris.
Thanks a lot, Gil, for those kind words. They kind of give me a lot to work for, don't they? You know, it wasn't so long ago that I was a member of the Academy myself.
Yes, but that was before Kid Galahad. Wayne,
Do you know John Ridgely and Carol Landis?
Sure I do. John and I were passing the Playhouse together a couple of years back, and I've known Carol around the lot for quite some time. Say, you both gave great performances tonight. Makes me wish I was back at the Academy with you. And that role you played tonight, John, was the kind of thing I'd like to do sometime, except the part where you get slapped around.
How about you? You see Love, Honor, and Behave, Carol? Boy, does Wayne get slapped around in that.
I saw it the other night, John. He certainly takes a beating, and from a girl. I don't see how little Priscilla Lane could give him such a beautiful black eye.
Now, wait a minute, Carol. You know, I didn't do so bad with that shiner of hers myself. But this really is like old times. You know, John here and I, we made our stage debut together at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Well, then, Wayne, we share an interest in John. You know, he and I made our motion picture debut together, and women are like that.
I bet you were good on it, too, huh?
So you'd notice it. Carol and I play a couple of bits, and are gone before you can say Gruen presents the Warner Academy Theater.
Well, I guess they had to save some time in the picture for Kay Francis and Pat O'Brien. After all, they're only the stars.
Well, thanks for a swell play. I hope you'll come up and see me when I get a chance to play here again.
Just try and keep us away.
Before announcing next week's show and telling you the names of the guest stars who will appear, let me remind you that gifts of beauty make up one of our finest ways of expressing the real sentiment we feel for those who are dear to us. Perhaps it has been a long while since you fully expressed your affection for all your loved ones. The best possible way to show these feelings that we can't put into words is the gift of a new Gruen watch. Outwardly, a Gruen watch is today more than ever a thing of rare beauty, a pleasure to wear, a joy to behold. Inwardly, a Gruen watch contains a watch movement built with a tradition of 64 years adherence to precision standards, the infinitely patient workmanship of sure craftsmen. Remember, for that special person and that special occasion, give the most beautiful of all watches a genuine Gruen. One of the most popular child actresses on the screen is Bonita Granville. But Bonita is now 15 years old, quite the young lady, and almost ready for grown-up roles on the screen. Now we're going to give you a preview of what the grown-up Miss Granville will be like next week, when we present her in the role created by Olivia de Havilland in It's Love I'm After. Also starred in this presentation will be Jane Bryan and Larry Williams. And for a special treat, Pat O'Brien will also come to the microphone. For one of the biggest laughs of the season, see Kay Francis and Pat O'Brien in the comedy success, Women Are Like That, at your local theater this week. And watch for Carol Landis and John Ridgely in their very first motion picture roles. Join us again next week in the Warner Academy Theater, transcribed from Hollywood, a feature of the Trans-American Broadcasting System.